is offering to the Lord's feet your prayers, telling him, confessing to him anything that may hinder you from fully hearing what he has laid upon your hearts this morning. Let's pray. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, as we always do. Lord, I pray it's a joy for all of us to come to your house together with this body of believers to look into your word. And Father, I pray that this morning as we hear your words, we won't take them lightly, Lord. Lord, I pray that they'll change us so that this week as we go out, our lips won't tell in our hearts, Lord, that our hearts are dirty, but Father, I pray that our lips will show that our heart is clean, because your word is washing and renewing us every day as we look intently into the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Alright, now I think the children's church, those guys are going to head out. God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us we need to study to show ourselves approved, to be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. And this morning we're in the word of truth in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 21. And last week we started a series about love. And last week we looked at the fact that God is love, that he defines love, that he shows us what love is, and that we can't have our preconceived ideas about love, what love is. We have to take God and his definition of love and what love is. So we're going to continue on in this, since we are of God, we're born of God, we're Christians, and we should have this nature that he's put into us. We should demonstrate this love, and that's what we're going to look at. So starting, I hope you have a Bible. It's on the screen behind us, behind me here. So if you don't have a Bible, you can look up there. I think there's some Bibles over here, but I pray everyone has a Bible. So let's begin 1 John 4, 9 through 21. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his perfect love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this command that we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. What is the result of your faith? What is the result of your faith? Have you ever asked yourself this question? What has happened to me, or what has happened in my life because I have had faith in God, because I'm now a believer in God? What's going on that's different in you? Because if you are a believer, there should be something different in you. In the Bible, as we're just looking at this short passage in 1 John, this short section on love, he's giving us some tests of salvation. Some ways you can test yourself, look at yourself, or even look at others and see, am I saved, or is this person saved? Is this a person, a believer, a follower of Christ? How do you know that? Well, as we see here, the main thing that shows us if we're truly a believer is love. Love in your heart. Love in this new nature that's been put into you, this new person that you are. Do you love? Does it happen? You know, we went out to eat at Texas Roadhouse a few days ago. I think maybe Friday night. All right, Friday night? No. Thursday night? So anyway, sometime this week we went out to eat. Texas Roadhouse. We get out of the car and this guy pulls up beside us with a bike. And he says, excuse me. And Jamie jumps. She's all scared, you know. And he says, I'm sorry to scare you. Because he could obviously tell she was frightened. And he says, I have some things I want to sell you. And he goes, I'm not asking for a handout. I need some sanitary needs. And you could tell this man had been in maybe a war and had some injuries. And it kind of affected the way he talked. He spoke with us. And he said, I want to sell these candle holders or something. And he said, I just would like to, you know, sell these to you so I can get some of these sanitary needs that I have. And, you know, I wanted to, but all I had was this credit card. And I said, I don't carry cash. I said, but if some way I have a credit card. And he goes, well, no, thank you. I appreciate it, though. Thank you for listening. And he starts to go. And my youngest daughter, she goes, you can come eat with us. Right? Right? You know, it shamed me because I was just like, okay, well, good. You know, kind of, you know, I wanted to help the guy, but I was kind of like, well, I don't have to buy nothing, you know. I have a way to do it. Kind of my out was I don't have any cash, and I really didn't. But she was thinking, well, just come to eat with us. You know, she was in her childlike faith. We can show this guy love. We can buy food for him. They'll take your credit card, Dad. You know, it's kind of shame me. But do we have a heart of love that wants to show everyone love? Because that's what God has for everyone. He wants to love everyone. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about our love being more and more, to be more abundant. So you may be listening to me like, well, Dustin, you know, I love. And if you kind of have that attitude, then you need to work on your humility. But anyways, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12 says, now as to the love of the brethren, the brothers, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So maybe they're progressing in this love pretty good. For indeed, you do practice it towards all the brothers, and you are all in Macedonia. Who are all in Macedonia? But we urge you, brothers, to excel still more. So he commends them on their love. He says, you're doing a great job loving each other. I don't even have to talk to you about this, but keep having more love. More upon more. Let it just pour out of you. And continuing on, I think this is verse 11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend to your own business, and to work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. You know, really, when you're loving yourself or loving others, it's kind of, you know, mind your own business. When you start getting into other people's business, it's kind of a way to hate others, to meddle. That's like the way that says. But I wanted to bring that verse up, 1 Thessalonians, just to kind of bring us all together. Everyone that's like, well, man, my life, I've been hateful lately. You know, I really haven't been as loving to my wife or my friends, and the other day I blew, you know, whatever it is, y'all are already there, because you know. But all of us that are maybe kind of like, well, I'm loving everyone, and kind of got that chip on the shoulder, we need to have even more. So as we look at this, kind of have that attitude that everybody, no matter where you are, needs to love more. And because this love is the genuine test of our faith. It shows us who we are. And not only does it show us who we are, it shows the world who we are. They should see our love and know who we belong to. Your friends at school should see you loving each other and know that you're a Christian. They should just know it. And this guy, he loves his friends. And now that I know we talked about last week kind of the different aspects of love, and we're going to get more into that probably next week. But this isn't the, you know, huggy-kissy kind of love. It's not the love that's based on what someone does for you, but it's this attitude, it's this way, this lifestyle where you're going to treat everyone right no matter what they do. Not because of them, but because you have decided to. Not because they're lovely, but because you have God's love in you that wills to love everyone. So that's this love. You're going to treat everyone with respect, no matter what. And this is, as we said, I'm going to kind of drive this home. This is a test of your salvation. This love. So remember that when you're driving in your car, someone cuts you off. You have no love. Or you're at school and someone cuts in front of you in line, do you have that kind of love? What are you going to do? This is a new commandment. This love is kind of rooted in this statement in John 13:14. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now this is Jesus talking. He says, I give you this new commandment, you've got to love each other as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, you will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now at this point, the disciples hadn't quite seen the full extent of Jesus' love for them. Because he's still on earth. Now we look back and see Jesus and his full extent of his love for us. Now, the disciples may have had some idea. Jesus had talked to them that he's going to be telling them as his ministry going on and revealing more about his death. But we see clearly his death for us. The full extent of his love for you and his love for me is dying for you and dying for me. We should have that same kind of love. That's how you know you're a Christian. Now, obviously, because you're here, and I'm here, we've not died for anybody. So you haven't demonstrated that love for anybody to that extent, right? But you can still have that same type of love. The willingness to die for someone, to go the extra mile, to not get huffy with them because they've treated you wrong, to treat them with respect, to stand up for them when others don't. I know most of you heard this before. It's, you know, talking about love, but this is amazing. This passage is just completely amazing, looking at the extent of Christ's love for us and how we're supposed to have the same love. No, we just think about your week, the past week. How many times did you not have even close to this type of love? Probably a lot. Whether it was outwardly, physically, you know, demonstrating with your mouth or your hands or somehow this lack of love, or was it just inside your head, grumbling in your mouth? Just how time? How many times do we often fall way far short of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross to demonstrate His love for us? A lot. Probably most of the time. Let's read it again. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, we want to be marked. You know what I mean by marked? Like, everyone wants to be kind of marked by something, like identify with something, wants to kind of be, well, you're this type of person. And they want people to know, and they kind of wear that as a badge, as I'm a, you know, this type of person, or I'm tough, or, you know, I'm into fishing, or I'm into this, or they want to have mark. And, you know, we see people that, like, people in the fishing, they'll have the fish on the back of their car, stickers. But even us as Christians, we don't want to be marked as Christians. We want people to know we're Christians. I believe if you truly are saved, you want people to know who you are. You want to identify with Christ. And there's a lot of ways that people try to do this with the WWJD bracelets and all that, shirts and stuff. There's frog bracelets. So it's like fully rely on God. T-shirts. I've even seen people with tattoos trying to identify with Jesus. Wherever you are on that, bumper stickers and window stickers, whatever you like, they've used that to try to help you identify with Jesus, really. That's the way it is. But Christ said, I want this to mark you, my love. All that other stuff, I mean, you can have the little Ichthus, the little Jesus fish on the back of your car and still be screaming at someone because they cut you off. I've seen it a ton of times. Maybe they bought that car and the sticker was on there. I don't know. I always assume that they're not, you know, whatever. I try to assume the best. But us as Christians, especially if you're going to wear it like that, you have to demonstrate God's love. That's what we're called to do and commanded to do. Francis Schaeffer, a Christian theologian, says, love is the mark that Jesus gives to label a Christian. Love, that's your label. You want a mark, don't go get a tattoo. Just don't go get a tattoo, period. But if you want a mark to show who you are, don't worry about a WWJD bracelet or a frog bracelet. Here it is, it's love. It is label a Christian. Not just in one not in one locality, but in all times, in all places, until Jesus returns. This is Francis Schaeffer. For it is Jesus' love that turns to the world and says, I have something to say to you on the basis of my authority. Jesus turns to the world and says, I give you a right that you may judge the world. That the world may judge whether or not an individual, okay, or even a community, the world has a right to judge you, or even this church, or the whole church in Port Lavaca, they have this right to see if you're a Christian or not, on the basis of whether or not you show love to the other Christians, and even to the world. That's amazing, isn't it? To know that Jesus Christ Himself gave the world the right to judge whether you're saved or not. And they do it. They love to do it, don't they? They love to look at you and point and be like, you say you're a Christian, but you do this, don't they? They can't wait to point their finger at you. You know, if you have God's love, if you are living the love life the way God has said, impersonal love for all mankind, you're not going to do anything that they're going to want to be your friend. They're going to want to know why you're different. This is, I've said several times in the last few months, Love, this love, when we demonstrate it, is the greatest outreach tool that we have. Of anything else, if we all just had Christ's love and never were arguing, we always went to God, and, you know, Christ's love has an aspect of discipline in it. Christ's love has an aspect of standing up for the truth, because if you don't stand up for the truth and present God's gospel to people, even if they are against it and argue against you, then you're just letting them go to hell. So that love is has an aspect. But if we would do that in a loving way, imagine the people that would want to know Christ because they see you're different. Paul wrote in Romans 1 through 11 about the gospel. That's kind of his main emphasis in 1 through 11. But then after that, he gives some implications, some results of the gospel. In Romans 12, 9 through 18, he says, "Let your love be without hypocrisy." The world loves pointing out hypocrisy in this, don't they? Right? You're a hypocrite. You say you were supposed to do this. And even, you know, some unbelievers have a distorted view of what Christianity is, and they have some rules that they think are Christianity, and this may or may not be. But even if we are going by their set of rules or not going by their set of rules, if we have love, that's not going to matter. They're going to see your love. He says, "Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor hate." Like, abhor is not like a pig, but abhor means like hate intensely what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another. Prefer your friend instead of yourself being first in whatever it is. Honor them instead of honoring yourself. He says, not lagging behind in diligence. Have a fervent spirit of serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Have perseverance in tribulation. Be devoted to prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Now, this is just kind of describing love here. Bless those who persecute you. They all kind of looked up when I said that. It's a hard one, isn't it? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I wish I had a friend like that. Don't you? I have a wife like that. She looked at me like, what? But you know, everyone wishes they had a friend that was like that all the time. If we start demonstrating this love, maybe we can all become more like God wants us to become, influencing one another. Now, the pastor to the Hebrews wrote to this church the book of Hebrews, and they were in the midst of fierce persecution. And he says to them, in the midst of facing this awful persecution, he says to them, let brotherly love continue. Let it just keep going. Peter 4:8, he says, in that book, he says, above all else, keep fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Keep fervent in your love for one another. Just keep going at it. Don't stop. Don't be like, well, I was really loving yesterday, I'm just going to cut out today. Keep fervent in it every day. It's who you are. It's not this fake thing that you're trying to put on. If it is who you are, you'll be able to do it every day. Now, I'm not saying you are going to fail, because we all fail, but we should be fervent in our love, because that's our new nature. It's our new nature. So this command to love the Bible, I could go on and on. I've got a lot of verses here that talk about the love we're supposed to have. It's supposed to show who we are in Christ. It's continually commanded. It's continually shown. And you know, the Bible is clear. If this love is absent in your life, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe when you were saved or had this decision or walked this aisle, you were counting on yourself. Maybe your trust wasn't fully in Christ. We read earlier what God used Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, you can have all this other stuff. You can pretend to have all these things. He even kind of jokes and says, I can even have the talk with the tongues of angels. He says, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. It's nothing. This is our mark. This is what sets you apart. It is our mark. Let's go back to our passage. From 1 John 4:9. It says, no one has seen God at any time. Once I'll get there, it's just in people. This actually, is it verse 12? No one has seen God at any time. You may have written it down wrong. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. It says, no one has seen God the Father at any time. At any time. And here John, he's making a simple point. And he's pretty plain about it. He says, no one's seen God. No one knows this. How are they going to know God? How are they going to find God? How are they going to see and understand who this God is that they need? If He's not visibly present with us right now, who's going to show them God the Father? How are they going to experience His love? And the simple answer is, it's really simple. You. Me. Us. That's it. That's God's plan. You, us, we, the church, are God's plan to reach people. That's what God decided to use. In His will, in His choice, He decided, I'm going to use this church to reach the world. And how are they going to experience this love, God's love, it says here, unless we love one another? They won't. Guys, we are to be loving each other. We're supposed to love the world, but even above that, we are called to love each other as a body of believers, as the church. We're to look out for each other. When we fall into sin, we're to go to each other and say, hey, this is wrong. I love you. I don't want you to have to experience God's wrath. I don't want to have to be punished by God. So come on and get back with us. Quit walking after the world and let's walk after God together. You know, if we do this and we show God's love, God will be on display. And it says in this verse that God, He abides in us and His love is perfected in us. It's perfected in us. His perfect love is perfected in us. It's made full. It's made complete. Like we talked about already, this is like an evidence or a test of our salvation. This assurance begins, and it's only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's so many things in the Bible that we just can't understand, right? Because if I asked you, I said, well, what do you have to do to show that you're a Christian. You say, well, you're telling me you're going to love others, right? Yeah, but you, who's producing that love in you? God, the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't, you know, who's responsible for that love? Not you, right? Only God's responsible for His love in you. He did it, but yet you got to show it to prove you're saved. So, I mean, it just shows us that this can't be unless God has done a work in us. That's why it's the proof of who you are, because you just can't have it. You just can't have this love unless God is in you. And it's got to be perfected. That's why at the beginning I said, everyone needs to come together, whether you think you're good at love or you're not. Everyone needs more, because it has to be perfected. And it's not this process where you get there, you'll never get there. And everyone knows it. You've got to keep walking in this. John assures us that we can know that God abides in us because He's given of His Spirit. He's given of His Spirit. Kind of editing, I'm sorry. We're running out of time. We're not going to get through here, so I don't take that page out. So, let's keep looking at our verse here. It says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Belief in this gospel is another test. It's a doctrinal test of whether you're saved or not. You've got to believe the true gospel. It provides evidence of the Spirit's ministry and the presence in our life. And you can't have this love unless you are deeply believing the gospel. You know, sinners are spiritually dead. They are. This is the fact. If you are not saved by God and raised from death, that's what the whole picture of baptism is. The picture of baptism being put under the water all the way and brought back out is a picture of you dying, you being dead, and being raised to new life, and now this new life in you is a life of love. You know, there's some people that will sprinkle, some denominations that sprinkle. That's not even, I mean, the whole point of baptism is the picture of going all the way under and coming all the way up, buried and raised again in new life. That's the point of it, to demonstrate what happened. You know, this new life is characterized in love. We can't stress this enough. And today, we see so much hate, even from our own people that profess Christ. On the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all these, because it's really easy to be hateful on there when you're not looking at someone eye to eye, isn't it? Jamie's writing this every day, a women's Bible study based on Proverbs 31, and she sends an email out to all of these ladies' groups, and she had a deal she said in there, and it says, I can't remember exactly the quote, but it says, our lips tell on our heart. Isn't that what it said? I'm probably just quoting it a little bit. But our lips, our tongue, here it is, I remember it. Our tongues tattle on our heart. And they do, don't they? Now we can say, you know, our typing or our texting tattles on our heart. But what you say tells what's going on inside of you. If you're not being loving to others, if you're not helping others, being patient with others, you're just showing everyone what's going on in here. You're showing everyone that you are not perfected in love. Maybe you are dead on the inside, unable to crawl out of your grave on your own. So, you should have confidence because of this. You know, if we are marked, if you If people look at you and see love in you, if you understand that you're loving and you're growing in this love, you're being perfected in this love, you have Christ in you, you're marked, and you should have confidence. Right? So you see people driving around and they're marked with all these different things, by the things they wear, and you see, I'm confident, that person's confident that they are a factory worker. I don't know. But they are, you see it a lot around here, a fisherman or a hunter, because they got a rack on the back of their car for hunting, or, you know, so they have confidence in that. And we should have confidence in our mark that we are a Christian, that we're saved. So I ask you, do you have confidence? Are you confident? And this really boils over to everything else in life. It does, and we'll see that. So, it says, by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have, like we said, confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves should also love his brother. Confidence in the day of judgment. This is what you will have when you understand the gospel and you understand God's love for you. It's just going to happen. But when you understand that God is all powerful and He loves you, wow. If He loves you, He wants the best for you, right? And if He's all powerful, sovereign, He can provide the best every single time. If He loves you, He doesn't want to hurt you. And if you're confident in that, there's no fear. There's no fear of God. Now, there may be fear when you go against His word. It's a different type of fear. It's a fear of discipline. But you still know He loves you. You still know He loves you. When we're growing in Christ, learning about Him, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, by reading His Word, our love is only increased. It's perfected. That's how our love is perfected. Our love is perfected in us. Our confidence in Christ is strengthened. You must understand He loves you. You must understand His love is in you. The day of judgment. What is that? That's the final judgment. When we're judged according to our works, not according to our sins. Sins are already judged on the cross. God ain't going to re-judge your sins. He's not like going to refry beans or, you know, recook this leftovers. He's done it. It's done. He's already judged them. He will judge you on the basis of your works. And if you love God, if you have God's true love produced in you by the Holy Spirit, that means God's perfect work on the cross is in you. It is. So He can look at you and say, you're covered by God's, Jesus Christ's death on the cross. You're judged by Christ's work, and everything else is covered. You have a propitiation, a covering, a blotting out, a substitute for your works, by Christ's works. And then also, all the works that you do after that in humility, subjecting to Christ, putting Christ first, are also works done in Christ. And so those two are also in your account as well. Those that, you know, produce a lot of works in their own, like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, may get in with just the slab, just the foundation. Never started building the building on top of the spiritual foundation. There will be a lot of people with a whole bunch of works, and they think that's going to get them in instead of the works of Christ on the cross. The work of Christ on the cross. Everything will be burnt up. And those people, those are the ones that are afraid. Those are the ones that have fear for the day of judgment. But you, if you have that proof of love, you don't have to be afraid. You know, Christ's work has been put into you. You have His work. They're representing you for that last day of judgment. This day of reckoning. You have confidence. Parousia literally means boldness. You stand before God with boldness. This is the same word John 3:21 says, when you can go to God in boldness, confident that He's going to answer your prayers. You're a child of God. You can go before the King as His child. You know, especially when we as Christians think of the final judgment, we should have all confidence, all boldness, no fear whatsoever. It's a marvelous fact that we can do this. This is, why should we have this confidence? Because as He is, talking about Jesus, so also are we in the world. We have confidence because as Jesus is, so are we. As Jesus has righteousness, so do we. As Jesus has perfect love, so do we. As Jesus was being obedient, so can we. And we can be confident because we see that in our lives. Someday, we'll stand before the throne just like our Savior Jesus Christ, confidently. When we reach that final accounting, that final day, we'll see the fulfillment of 1 John 3:2. We, believers, know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we'll see Him just as He is. And we'll see that we're just like Him. We've been given everything He has through adoption as sons. This perfect love. He says our love needs to be perfect. It means it needs to be complete. It needs to be mature. And this perfect love, it casts out fear. The more your love is made perfect, is made complete in Christ, the more you know how He is and who He is and how He loves you, it just demolishes the fear. I remember when I was a kid, I'd do something bad, like really bad, you know, like, I don't know, steal some half a block of Velveeta or something and eat it. But then, like, for a month after that, anytime my mom would be like, Dustin, I'd be like, oh, she knows. You know, you're all scared and you have fear. But if you have perfect love for your mother and your father, you don't want to disappoint them. So you don't transgress their rules. You don't transgress their laws. And so as your love is being perfected, you are becoming less and less sinning every day. You don't want to fail your God because you love Him more. As your love is becoming more perfect and greater for your God, as you love others more and more, you have less fear, even in punishment, because you don't have to worry. You have less fear of the final wrath of God because you know where you're going. You know where you're going. I work EMS sometimes, and through that and also through being a minister or whatever, I've been at the side. I've been there when people were really close to death. And those people that aren't believers, when they know there's just a few hours left, they have no peace whatsoever. They're scared and they're afraid. And they know. I've seen people who were close to death and didn't pass on, that they came back, and there's fear. There's just so much fear of not knowing. We know, guys. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Those people that are afraid are not thinking death is gain. They're thinking death is, whoa, just the most fearful thing. As your love grows, you don't have to, you're not awaiting a punishment. The world is awaiting a punishment. Anyone who fears God's judgment, the Bible says, is not perfected in love. Our motive for love? What is our motive? Why? Because He first loved us. He initiated all of it. He did it. Because He loved us, we love Him. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, someone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love his God whom he has not seen? Now just search your heart, guys. Is there hate for brothers or sisters? Is there hate for anyone for that fact? Is there someone that you just can't talk to when you see them? You just gotta go the other way, because the Bible says, if you can't love your brother, where do you stand? You must love one another. This love only comes from God. It can only be possessed by those that are possessed by God. You have confidence in your life if you're marked by this love. Confidence for the rest of your life. Notice a hymn that says, I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine. It says, loved with an everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, gracious Spirit from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. Let's pray. Oh, You are so good. Lord, I pray that we would have confidence in all of life because we are confident in Your love for us. We're confident in the love that You are growing inside of us. Lord, we see that You're in control of everything, so we have no fear. Lord, I pray we would experience this life of peace because we're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of anyone. Even death brings comfort, Lord. Brings gain. Lord, we ask You to be with us as we go out this today. Lord, I pray as we often do that we would look at this word and be changed by it. Not like the man who looked into the mirror and turned around and forgot what he looked like, forgot what was messed up. Lord, I pray we would look into the mirror of Your word and change where our hearts are dirty. That our mouths would speak Your love and that our actions would show Your love. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a few announcements. If you have your bulletin with you.